Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
Here we are. You are listening to the Monday, April 18th, 2016 broadcast of Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, your host for this day as we examine a reading from the fifth Sunday of Easter. The readings after Easter, they're just so good. Not just the epistle from Revelation or the gospel from John, but also during the season after Easter, rather than an Old Testament reading, we're reading from the book of Acts. Okay, what if a Muslim leader said to you, I don't believe everything the Quran says. I don't believe it applies to me today. Wow, that would be something, wouldn't it? Because there are so many statements in the Quran that the ultra-right conservatives use to kill infidels, etc., etc. Well, guess what? I'm a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Do I agree with everything the Bible says? No, I don't. What? Don't you want to stay as host of Law and Gospel on KFUO? Well, yes, and I shall, but I won't be removed because I just said what I said. No, I don't agree with everything the Bible says, and this is a big difference between Muslims, the Islamic faith, and Christianity. Well, give me an example of something in the Bible that you don't agree with. I don't agree with a whole bunch of laws that are found in the Old Testament. No, I'm not talking about moral laws. I'm talking about ceremonial laws and civil laws. You see, there's not that distinction that many Muslims make in the Quran. Because when they read the Quran, they believe that all of these laws apply to them today. That's why they have Sharia law. But we Christians do not agree with the civil laws of the Old Testament applying today. For example, one of them says, if a woman is caught in adultery, she should be stoned. I don't know any Christian who would agree that that ought to be one of our civil laws today. Also, there is a very clear commandment that on the Passover, we should kill a lamb, and participate in the celebration of the Passover. We don't do that today. Why? Because both the civil laws, not only of the Old Testament, but of various other countries, but the civil laws of the Old Testament were meant for Israel at that time. Today we live in countries that have changed the civil laws. For example, if I said I only have to obey what the Bible says, I would never stop at a red light because I can't find anywhere in the Bible that says stop at red lights. Similarly, the ceremonial laws are no longer in effect, even though the Seventh-day Adventists believe that the ceremonial part of the third commandment, namely remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, means you must worship on Saturday. No. Well, how do we know this? We know it from God's further revelation in the New Testament. And that's one of the things that is the reading from Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. This has got so much in it. So let's, without further ado, begin. The apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. You see, Peter had been preaching, and even Gentiles were coming to faith. Now, that really wasn't that unusual in Judaism or among the Jews, because there was such a thing called a proselyte. A proselyte would be a Gentile who converted to the Jewish faith. A good example of that was the centurion who even built a synagogue for the Jews. But Gentiles, women, and children were not permitted in the proper part of the temple. They were excluded. And a lot of Jews just really thought that eating with a Gentile was wrong. So, verse 2 says, when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. Now, what does that mean? Those of the circumcision. Well, these would be Christians who hadn't yet fully grasped the idea that one did not need to be circumcised in order to become a Christian. In other words, they were believers, but like a lot of Christians today, they had some house rules based on what they thought was the Old Testament proper reading, such as today you've got a bunch of Christians who believe it's a sin to play cards or to gamble or to dance or to drink wine. And therefore, when they look at the Bible, they really change what the Bible says. It's not that Jesus gave out wine. He gave out grape juice. So house rules are really dangerous if they're not understood properly from the point of view of the Bible. You are not to eat with uncircumcised men. See, this is why Jesus was crucified. He not only ate with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, but he talked to them about the forgiveness of sins. So, Peter is challenged by Christians who are weak in the faith, who says, how dare you eat with uncircumcised individuals? Peter explains to them, beginning with verse 5. He says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. Now, this is Peter after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He still believed that there were certain foods that were considered unclean. And that was what was on this sheet. Now, we don't agree with this, of course, and I'll tell you why in a few moments. But if I had a friend of mine who was Jewish, and my best friend, by the way, when I was growing up, his name was Don Gardner, and he was Jewish. I tell you that anytime I invited him to the house or he came over to eat, we didn't serve pork because they believe that's unclean. Here, this big sheet comes down. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, no, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Never entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven. Now, this is really critical. Verse 9 is the critical verse in Acts 11. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. What does that mean? Well, obviously, under the ceremonial laws, there was a distinction made between Jews and Gentiles, women, children. And therefore, they were not permitted, the Gentiles, the children, and the women, to enter into certain areas of the temple. But this is really important. God says, what I have cleansed, you must no longer call common. And this was done 3 times. Peter was told to eat this. And then it was drawn up into heaven. At that very moment, he comes out of his trance, and 3 men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. So Peter brought along some of his own people, 6 of them. And the man's house, we're going to find out, was, of course, a Gentile. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Wow, this is so important. Because many of the apostles, as well as others, after Jesus' resurrection, came to faith by seeing Jesus visibly. This was only for those until Jesus had ascended into heaven. They saw him, they believed. After his ascension into heaven, God reverses. First you believe, then you understand and agree with the word of God. You see Jesus, in a sense, face to face. And listen what verse 14 says, that Peter will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. This is why it is so important that when a congregation calls a pastor, they need to get a pastor who is preaching the word of God in its purity. I don't really care how friendly the pastor is or how good he is with people or how he may be really a servant. It doesn't matter if he gets up in the pulpit and says that which is contrary to the word of God, because that's his primary purpose, namely to speak a sermon of law and gospel. And that's what Peter did. Verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. What was he talking about? Pentecost. Remember how the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples at Pentecost? And then also the thousands of people that they baptized on that day. And how did that come about? They didn't show Jesus. They had no evidence. They simply spoke the word of God. And many people came to faith. Verse 16. Peter says, boy, I then remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wow. You see, that was the meaning of what happened at the cross when the curtain of the temple tore in two. That was the curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the rest. Guess what? It didn't mean that we can now go into the Holy of Holies. It meant primarily that God came out of the Holy of Holies and he has now made his temple the body of Christians. He has entered into you. Peter recognized this, and therefore here's what he says. If therefore God gave them the same gift, that is the Holy Spirit, as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they became silent. Who became silent? The members of the uncircumcised who were arguing with Peter that he had eaten with uncircumcised Gentiles. They too had their faith enlarged, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." You see, KFUO is just not meant for Jewish people. It is meant for Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews. And there are many Jews who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. We even have a church here that's primarily Jewish in its nature. Why? Because there's no distinction now between male or female, Jew or Greek, free or slave. What does that mean? That there's no distinctions between a male and a female? No. Just make note that in sports, they have to have female teams because they couldn't join a male team. Can you imagine a woman going out for football? Even in fighting, MMA, mixed martial arts, the women fight the women. I've never seen one fight a man. There's a difference between men and women. But there's no difference before God. A woman is just as forgiven as is a male. Now, in the world, there are distinctions. Males, just because women and males are equal, doesn't mean that males can have babies. It doesn't mean that women can be pastors. So there are distinctions still within the hierarchy of the church and nature, but there's no distinction when it comes to salvation. A woman and even a child through infant baptism can be brought into the kingdom of God and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is so important because you may ask the question, when were Gentiles finally recognized as being also a part of the people of God? Well, in a sense, that happened in the Old Testament. There's a very famous book, you know it, it's called Jonah. And I'll tell you, if I ever ask the question, what do you remember about the book of Jonah? Most people will say, wow, he was swallowed by a whale and then was spit up. No, that's even wrong. The word in the original Hebrew is not whale. It's rather a large fish that God had prepared. It could have been a whale, but it doesn't say that. But that's not the important point of Jonah. The important point of Jonah is, where did he go? God commanded him to go to a town called Nineveh. These were Gentiles. And the whole town was converted by the preaching of Jonah, who was not that enthusiastic about doing this. It's a tremendous passage to show once more, it is the word of God that converts. It's not using reason. It's not using evidence. It's doing nothing but speaking the word of God. And the main word of God, according to verse 18, is repentance. That's what Martin Luther has in the first thesis of his 95 that he posted, that the life of the Christian is one of repentance. What does that mean? It means not only that God has picked you up as a lost sheep and turned you around and taken you to his home, the Holy Kingdom of God here on earth, the Holy Christian Church. But it also means that the result of that act of repentance on the part of God moves us to be contrite over our sins and turn to Jesus for salvation. I don't make a distinction. When I was pastor, we had quite a mixed congregation. In fact, oftentimes the majority of people that I had in adult instruction class were black and were coming from something that wasn't Lutheran. But they didn't like the worship service because it was so different. Until they became Lutheran, understood the doctrine, and boy, within about 3 months, they loved the hymns, joined the choir, because they saw in this wonderful things. Now, does that mean we didn't play hymns that blacks had written, especially during slavery? No. I'll tell you, some of those are just excellent because they went through a time where the only comfort they had was Jesus Christ. But we went to traditional liturgy. And the reason we did that is because this is based on the history of the church and really does a wonderful way of bringing people to a recognition of their need for repentance. Remember one of the things we say at the beginning of the service, I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That includes me as a pastor. That includes every woman, every male, every child. That's why this is so important. The main verse, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. I was born common in the kingdom of Satan. My whole being was one of self-interest. And what had to happen is I had to have within me created a new heart, a right spirit. That's Psalm 51. And God did that. The message that we give over these radio stations ought not be different just because of people who have a different color of skin or in a different culture. Now, I'm not saying that, let's say, when we went to New Guinea, people were not familiar with sheep. And so we had to explain to them what sheep were. And it's not wrong, I believe, that you kind of use the music you find in that culture so people are more comfortable in singing. But we need to be really careful. I remember when Albert Schweitzer, the movie, he went to, I believe it was Africa, and when he did a worship service, this was in the movie, they were singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's just really wonderful to see that. Yes, there are certain cultural differences that our missionaries need to be aware of when they go to another land. But for example, if somebody came to my church and they were from an area of the world where rather than shaking hands, you kissed a person on the lips, and they're coming out of church and they do that to me, I would really be surprised, obviously, because that's not my culture. So I'm not saying that you don't take the culture into effect, but the Word of God ought never change. Getting back to the original point I was making, in Christianity, we don't follow the ceremonial or civil laws that were meant for the Old Testament people of Israel. We follow the moral laws, which are found in the Ten Commandments. Those never change. But we have different civil laws and ceremonial laws. Would that the Muslim faith would recognize there is a distinction of laws also in the Quran, but they don't. If the Quran says something, then that's good for all time. Interesting point that for Christians, many of the laws in the Old Testament are no longer necessary. Because in the Old Testament books, you don't eat unclean food. It was a way of reminding you that you are not yet holy in God's sight to the point where you could enter into the Holy of Holies or eat unclean food. But this chapter here, Acts 11, shows that God has cleansed not only the food, but also all people. And he did that on the cross of Christ, where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." And that forgiveness was given to every person. Those who don't want it, they reject it. But those who, through faith in Jesus Christ, as did not only this Gentile, but also the people of the circumcision, when they heard what the Holy Spirit was doing in giving himself, even to Gentiles, then they glorified God and said, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Wow. You could do a 2-hour Bible study on this. There's so much to be said. But it's a great passage to show that when we're talking about the ceremonial parts of the commandments, like the Sabbath day, having to worship on Saturday, that's not the moral part. You want to know what the moral part of the commandments are? Martin Luther does a wonderful job in explaining them in the meaning of the commandments. I'll tell you what the third commandment is. We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but gladly hear and learn it. See, the moral part of the third commandment is to get back into the rest of Jesus, the rest home, and hear his word. Tomorrow, Mark Smith with the hymn, "At the Lamb's High Feast, We Sing." Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.